Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report for this May 20th, 2025. I have your host, James J. Mailoff here, and we're welcoming into the studio our great friend, CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Ames Counties, Terry Johns.
Hello.
Hey, good to have you with us, Terry. How are you doing?
Great to be here. I'm doing very well.
Good, good. Appreciate you. Appreciate the time and, of course, everything you and your team over there at the United Way are doing for our community. We're going to get into some really fun, cool events that you guys have going on. You want to start with Stuff to Desk? You want to start there? Registration,
sure.
Some of that?
Absolutely. So registration is open for school supplies for next school year. People don't really like hearing that before the school year ends, but, you know, this is the reality we live in before summer gets crazy. But registration is open. So if you have a need for school supplies for your student, we say as a general rule, if you qualify for free and reduced lunch, you qualify for free school supplies. But we also understand sometimes there's some, you know, an emergency happens, a hardship happens. So there is a form that you do need to fill out to get your students registered. We need to know what grade they're going to be in, what school they're going to be at. This is serving all of Southwood County schools. So this would be if your child goes or will next school year go to Wisconsin Rapids, Port Edwards, Nakusa, Emmanuel, the Assumption Catholic School System, or, you know, there may be other needs that people have, but this is designed for Southwood County residents. And we do require a registration form. So you can find that form by visiting uwswac.org. And it is literally the first image that pops up on the website, Stuff the Desk. And then we need information about your student so that we can make sure that they you know, get the supplies that are appropriate to their grade and location. That registration is open until August 1st. You know, sometimes, you know, I guess I was being a little cheeky before about, you know, school's not even out yet. And we're going into talking about the next school year. But sometimes the chaos of summer just gets in the way, right? So if you know you're going to have this need and you want to just get it taken care of, you know, by all means do that. And you can register multiple students.
With that, you can also pick a time slot and get that taken care of so you know that you got the time slot that's going to fit best for your schedule.
Correct. As part of registration, you tell us when you'll be, you know, completing your pickup. We do the drive-through distribution on a Friday afternoon and then Saturday morning. So you, right now, there is openings in all of the time slots, but they are first come, first served. So another incentive, I guess, to register sooner. If you don't have a computer, it is mobile friendly. I will point that out. But if you just don't have access to a device, you can call 211 between the hours of 8 and 5 Monday through Friday, and one of our local resource specialists can just walk through the form, you know, fill it out basically while you're giving them the information. So I don't want you to think if you know don't have a computer at your fingertips that you don't have the ability to sign up, but everyone does have to get logged in through this online system.
We've been doing this for so long. I had almost forgotten this, but it was odd. I thought of it this morning when I knew you were coming in. One of the things that we used to talk about a lot about with this subject, and I used to hear from listeners quite a bit that I haven't heard in a long time, is, well, how do I know if I qualify? How do I know if I need supplies? And I know that it might seem like a very basic question to some out there of, well, I mean, if you don't have all the supplies you need, certainly you need supplies. Your child does. But so many of us, especially Midwesterners, we're not great about asking for a hand up or even looking at our own lives and thinking, well, I'm okay. I'll make it all right. I'll just rub some dirt on it. I'll be fine. That's our MO. That's what we do around here. And I love us for that. I love our brethren and sisters for that. But at the same time, this is why this exists, is for people that are in need. And if you even think you are, I encourage you to reach out to United Way. Or even by filling out the registration in that, you might figure out, oh, I do need assistance, or oh, I don't. But I appreciate, I don't know, you know this world better than I do, Terry, but when it comes to something like this, I think a lot of people in society think, well, just everybody's trying to get these supplies or something.
No.
In fact, it's the opposite in many ways, where we're having to remind people and encourage people, hey, this is something this is a service, we're here for you, and we want to help out.
For sure. And that's why I think we use just kind of the general, the loose, you know, guideline of free and reduced lunch, but understand that there are some other, you know, hardships that could present themselves that you know, someone didn't expect.
Terry, my kids are old. No, they're in their early 20s and everything, but they're not in school anymore, of course, and everything. But I know this is going on. We get excited about this, and I want to help. I want to be a part of things, and I still can.
Yeah, for sure. So we are collecting school supplies to meet the need of the children who register for Stuff the Desk. So the Stuff the Bus event happens on Thursday, August 7th at Lunch by the River. So United Way is the sponsor of Lunch by the River that day. We ask everyone to bring all their school supplies to us that day. They are sorted and inventoried, and so that is a really key date. We are currently in the process of asking local businesses to be collection sites, or you know, maybe it's an organization. We typically hear from churches, for-profit businesses, other nonprofits, you know, that yes, we'll collect. Some people do just an internal collection from their employees. Some say, you know, the public can drop off here. You of course can always drop off at the United Way office at 351 Oak Street, but this all culminates on August 7th because, again, we inventory, and then if we have a gap and we've received monetary donations, then we will order what we're missing. So that's why, you know, it's we're so grateful for the donations, but sometimes it's frustrating when 5 days after the collection and we've placed an order, then all of a sudden, you know, 500 more folders show up, and it's like, oh, yeah, it would have been really nice to have these. So that's why we're, you know, we're trying to be out on the early side of it and just really get people going and having August 7th, you know, set their sights on that or before, right? Like, of course, it could come to us before. So we have a most needed list. You can find that on our website. You can find the list of what we are distributing to kids, because we can't meet... you know, kind of each classroom teacher puts out a list, and there's general things, right? Like, let's say they're a fifth grader. They need 4 solid color folders, 4 solid color notebooks, markers, glue stick, blah, blah, you know. But sometimes one teacher might say, oh, I'd like my students to have this. We are unable to meet all of those kind of one-offs, so to speak, but we will meet all of the basic items. But this gives the families an opportunity to pull up that list and say, okay, well, you know, my teacher list says 12 items. Stuff the Bus is going to provide 10 of those items. I only need to figure out the other 2, right? So there's definitely benefit in that.
Really cool.
If you're out shopping for us, solid color everything. If that's helpful. You know, while the printed folders are absolutely adorable with the puppy on them, that's not what we're distributing to kids. Right. We're distributing solid color notebooks, solid color folders, and this is at the request of the teacher. But it also, you know, takes away that disparity, right? Like, you got 4 really fun, cute folders, and I got 4 blue folders, or, you know, whatever the case would be. So we're just trying to keep it all level and distribute those items. We also take monetary donations because the biggest expense, as you could imagine, is backpacks. Yeah. It's also the thing that's donated the least, because it does cost a lot, right? So we take monetary donations. We also wrote a grant to the Green Bay Packer Foundation. I mean, we're always being very resourceful with donations and seeking out grants. But what we do is, you know, we purchase 1,000 backpacks and then stuff them full for these kids. So when they present, it's a drive-through format. You know, the person just, you know, here's kind of a snapshot of how it goes, right? Like, the car presents, and the first person approaches the car and says, you know, they have a little card that was sent to them. And they'll just radio into the school. We do it at East Junior High, and they'll say, you know, we have a fifth grader, a third grader, and a kindergartner. Well, by the time that car gets around, those 3 backpacks are already outside and go, you know, and get loaded right into the car. So pretty well-oiled machine. But of course, you know, we listen and we hear, hopefully, you know, really where there's opportunities. And one of the things was publishing that list of what we're going to provide. Oh. Because, you know, if people don't get their backpack until August 16th, and then they realize, oh gosh, my kid still needs these other 3 things.
Oh, sure.
You know, maybe by then it could be back to school time is expensive.
Yeah.
You know, loading the lunch account and doing all of these things.
Yeah.
So buying tennis shoes and just all of it. And so if they know now in May that, you know, these 3 things aren't going to be provided, they can look for that. So that was kind of a thought that came out of the committee, and certainly want to shout out to all of the schools, the local schools, because they have members of their leadership teams that are sitting on this committee with us, so that we can have this be the best. You know, COVID forced us into a drive-through distribution, and that's I'll give COVID something. That was great.
No,
right? Yeah. It alleviates, you know, we're not having people standing in line. There's no reason for them to park their car, get out of their car to walk up and get a backpack, when we just needed 10 more volunteers to be able to bring them right out. You know, like, there's good things. Yeah, a good thing that came out of it.
But it's a really efficient machine.
Yeah, it's really good. And so we just encourage people, get registered, and if you have the ability, buy us some school supplies or make a donation. And August 7th is the cutoff.
Mark it down. Make sure that you spread the word about that, too. A little bit of breaking news here as well. We are going to be a drop-off location here at WFHR and WYRI. We will take those and make sure that they get to Terry somehow. We never run into each other, so somehow we'll figure it out. No, wait a minute. Definitely be able to get that to you guys. And we're happy to be able to do that. So please keep us in mind as well. If you need to drop off items and you're not on that side of town, you're on this side of town, that's fine.
And if you're a local business, willing like you guys to be a drop off, Anna, our marketing person, put together a fabulous media kit. So there's signs in there that you can print. You can have it co-branded, the United Way logo and your logo, and she has it all there. So she's good. I mean, it's super.
Do want to remind everybody, you touched on something there, Terry, about volunteering. We could always use some extra hands to help this happen. I've been a part of this twice where I didn't need supplies necessarily. I went once with Laura and just to see the experience it and everything. And it's so efficient. I know we had talked about it for years, and then experiencing it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is really fast. Mm-hmm. And a big part of it is the volunteers. We thank them, and we could always use more for this year's.
Yes, for sure. We do, because of kind of the, we need to have a good plan for this. Mm-hmm. So we're not looking for any spontaneous volunteers, like anybody to just show up on the day. Yeah. We want you to express that interest ahead of time to us. And so that we can just be like, okay, here's what we need you to do. Here's where you stand. Here's how, because there's a little bit of volunteer coaching goes with it, but we definitely could use, if people want to help out with the distribution or the pre-packing or the sorting and inventorying, we definitely are happy to have volunteers.
Feel free to reach out to the United Way. We'll tell you how you can do that to find out more in just a little bit. Terry, we were talking about when the kiddos are a little bit in the teenage or younger and getting into school and stuff. But before that, we want to help out as well, because we're talking about the diaper drive.
I mean, yeah, we are. We're having a lot of conversations about, how we impact kids and provide people with the supply and items that they need. And so this was a response. Last year we held the first one to just hearing from community partners.
Last year's was really successful too. I meant to bring this up the other day with you. I'm still blown away when I think about
15,000 diapers.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's really
for a first.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah.
So we are currently collecting diapers.
And one family used all of them. No,
they're still using them.
They're still using them. Yeah, this is like one kid.
We are collecting diapers, wipes, and pastes and creams for local programs that are hearing from community members that, I need diapers, I don't have access to, or I have diapers, but I don't have enough, right? And so then that becomes a cleanliness, a health, issue with children. So we responded last year again with our first diaper drive and continued it this year. And we're seeing a nice response. I also had the opportunity to write a grant, which leveraged some dollars to supplement what we receive in donations. And so our goal is that from Mother's Day to Father's Day, we leverage as many as the community will support. And then we will be distributing those to three locations in Southwood County, to First Choice Pregnancy Resource Center, the Family Center, and the Food Pantry. This is where people who have these needs are presenting. This is also an opportunity for our resource specialists at 211 to say, I understand that you have this need. Here's where you can find, here's where you can go. We don't have the capacity. We've been seeing some United Ways popping up their own, diaper banks. We don't have the physical capacity. Our building is small, and then you run into do you spend money on a location when you really could just spend the money on the diapers, right? Because these organizations that I mentioned that we are partnering with, they're already seeing the clientele, right? So we can just get them the supplies they need. So again, thinking through not duplicating and cost and all of that. So those are the three distribution locations in Southwood County. We expanded this year to the Adams County part of our service area as well. So collecting diapers there, and then those will be distributed through UW Extension Adams County and some of their partners. So, you know, I think we've got a good thing going. And again, you know, trying to really listen and hear what the community needs are. And we, you know, we had a great response last year, and looking forward to the same as this continues up through Father's Day.
We appreciate everybody who has already donated. Continue, keep that going, everybody. It's a great investment in our future and helping out those that could really use it. Appreciate you.
And just one other thing regarding diapers. The greatest need is actually the largest sizes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, while there's less in the box for the same price, right? You get more newborn size diapers than you get size six. But what we're hearing, the feedback we're getting is that sizes, you know, if you're thinking, oh, I'll go buy a bag of diapers, what we're hearing is size 4, 5, and 6 are just really where the greatest need is. So just consider that if you're, you know, if you're thinking about supporting this, that's where the greatest need lies.
We're speaking with CEO of your United Way of Southland Adams Counties, Terry Johns. And Terry wanted to talk about another event and then spend some time a little bit on 2-1-1 with you. But just again, some breaking news here for everybody. I was talking with Stephanie yesterday a little bit, and I have agreed after a long negotiation to be a judge again once more for United Weekend. We worked it out somehow with all my, you know,
so you're paying us
needs and everything. Yeah, well, that's really what it comes down to. I was trying to have to pay you less, and actually somehow I'm paying you guys more than wait. I love being a part of this, a tiny little part of the United Weekend event. It is probably my favorite event you guys do every year. It's such a, because of the combination of things, I have admitted many times one of my bigger passions is hunger in our country, and something I've paid attention to since I was a little kid. But I love the idea of how much of a community event this is, and the more and more it feels like every year it just becomes more and more of such a community event that everybody gets a part of. Last year, I was talking to somebody at one of the last week of the season, went to a game at Winter Field. I'm talking to somebody, and they were talking about this event for this year and looking forward to it. They did not even know I worked at the radio station, didn't know I knew you or anything like that. I thought it was just really cool to hear. I know how much people enjoy this because it's a fun event. We're going to a Rafter game. We're going to see a Rafter win, and we're doing some good. This community does this better than anybody, having fun while also raising funds or helping out a community, you know, people.
Yeah, so when you think about the history of this event, you know, really we said we have a lot of really great food programs that are meeting, you know, almost able to meet all the need or all the need that we're aware of, right? Because sometimes we just don't know, you know, what people need or how much people need. But we took it from the standpoint of, how do we educate the community that there are hunger challenges here, you know, in our community? So that was really what made us think, oh, let's do, you know, let's hop on the food sculpture contest, because it just educates the general public who otherwise just aren't thinking about it. They haven't had a need. They haven't been asked to donate, you know, whatever. But they just might not have found themselves in the space where they understand that there's hunger issues. So, that, you know, that was kind of what started it. And then the food from the sculptures is the bonus, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea is anyone who attends the Rafter game comes, sees the sculptures, maybe ask some questions, maybe they don't. Mm-hmm. Maybe they learn a little bit about hunger by listening to some of the statistics that are read. Or maybe they, you know, we have an opportunity to do a collection during the game. You know, maybe they reach in their pocket and throw all their change in the bucket. Maybe they throw a five in the bucket. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's an opportunity, like just right now in real time for a couple of hours, to be thinking about the hardship that someone else, you know, maybe that they're sitting next to, might be experiencing. And then the true bonus is the next day our local food programs come and they get to pick up the food and it goes back into, you know, it goes to their organizations. And so when someone presents at the food pantry, now maybe there's, you know, 40 more cans of corn because it was used in a sculpture and that kind of, you know, that's the bonus. But really, you know, our motivation and the idea behind it is to just have the general public understand that we do have hunger challenges here in our community. So this event is taking place on June 17th. It is a Tuesday night, happens at the Rafters. The game is 6:35. I have no idea who they play. Sorry, it's just not relevant to me at this point. Right. It's not that it's unimportant, but I'm just saying we're there to promote hunger. And build awareness.
Yeah.
So the food sculptures are built from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. by local businesses, organizations, charitable groups, whomever would like to build sculptures. If you've thought about building a sculpture and you haven't signed up, we can still take a couple of more of registrations if somebody would like to. We have two classifications, minor league, less than 500 cans, major league, over 500 cans. And we have some fun with it. Like you indicated, you're a judge. So we've got a couple of judges that are helping us, you know, pick favorite sculptures. The Community Choice Award goes to every person who comes into the Rafter game gets a ticket to vote. So, you know, that's kind of, well, you know, favored by the general community.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just a really fun, again, opportunity. You see creativity. You maybe understand need a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And you do whatever your small part is to help us combat that.
See the your Raft.
That's a new team, right?
Yeah, Traverse City Pit Spiders. Yeah, Pit Spitters. At least, yeah, I believe that's what I'm seeing here on the 17th. Yeah, I believe so. Yep.
Oh, so it's not the new one. Isn't there a new team in our league this year?
There is the Royal Oak Leprechauns.
Okay, I knew there was a new one. Okay.
We're excited about this. Really, you know, whoever they're playing, it's going to be a fun night. I'll tell you that right now. But we also enjoy being able to be a part of things with the United Way and helping you. The good work you guys do over there, certainly with everything we've talked about today, with everything we talk about year long, it's important and vital. And there's nobody out there listening that hasn't been touched by the United Way in some way or another, whether 6 degrees of separation or not. Our community is big, but it's also a pretty tight-knit community, and I think most people know that. But one of the things that we don't get to talk about nearly enough, and that's more so me, I think. I don't get a chance to bring it up enough, is 2-on-1. And as we're wrapping up today, Terry, I wanted to take a little focus on that, and let's talk about 2-on-1 a little bit to people.
Yeah, so 2-on-1 is a 24/7 resource and referral line, and we have statewide coverage. We are still working on nationwide coverage, but we're not quite there. But the state of Wisconsin does have statewide coverage, which you know, adds a certain layer of benefit, right? It affords us more resources. We have we have one database for the entire state. We have one phone system, so that when something happens, you know, last week there was a tornado in Clark County. Mm-hmm. Clark County is one of the counties that our 2-on-1 contact center serves, and so the next day. Mm-hmm. The emergency management director for Clark County reached out to us at 2-on-1 and said, we need to, you know, we call it a switch. It's not really, it's figurative switch. Throw the disaster switch so that we are handling their damage calls. So, you know, we have MOUs with each of the counties. And this is just one example, right? So then people could call us and report. And it was mostly, fortunately, just wind damage to buildings, right? Like no fatalities, no, mm-hmm. you know, but we gather that information so that emergency management doesn't have to park somebody at the phone to treat, you know, to take all of this. Then they can triage from the backside. They can log in and say, okay, you know, there's 17 reports. Mm-hmm. This is all outbuildings. Oh, here's someone's home. You know, we should make that a top priority. Or, you know, however, I'm not suggesting that I know how they prioritize, but that's just, they can get it from the backside. Hmm. So this is an example of 2-on-1, but 2-on-1, I think the beauty of it is it's available all the time for whatever need you have.
Right.
So you might have something that you want to donate and you're not sure where it could go. 2-on-1 can help with that. Mm-hmm. 2-on-1 is certified through the Wisconsin Recovery Addiction Helpline. So when you call, if you're experiencing or a loved one is experiencing something like that, the resource specialist can help you navigate. Maybe you are caring for an aging parent and you just want to know, you know, I want to keep them at home, but I need help, right? Yes. Like, I mean, you just think about the overwhelming nature of that. So 2-on-1 can direct you to resources. So again, it is a referral line. So they are helping you navigate what programs might be in your community. Mm-hmm. So when you call, it is anonymous, but you are asked some information. You're asked for your zip code. You're asked for, you know, would you like us to reconnect with you in a few days, because sometimes there's that overwhelmingness too, right? There's also now a warm line transfer into what's called the wire system, where you can give permission, you know, maybe for 2-on-1 and another organization to be connecting with each other, so that we're making sure that you get the resources. But that is not required. That's at your, you know, at your agreement, right? Yeah. But there are just so many reasons that someone might call 2-on-1. The top reasons that we've been experiencing for quite a while in the communities that we serve are certainly housing. right? Maybe rental assistance or eviction prevention. We also, you know, hear about people calling because of utilities, mm-hmm. because the moratorium protects them from so long. But then in April, that shuts off and people need to get current with their bills. So utility assistance, food. Mm-hmm. Often comes mm-hmm. up, and sometimes it's, you know, maybe I'm not living in a space where I have a long-term hotel stay, you mm-hmm. know, sometimes maybe you can stay for a month while you're in between, but that means I don't have a stove, mm-hmm. I don't, you know, so I need like microwave meals or shelf stable items, mm-hmm. or sometimes unique food challenges, yeah. And then of course childcare, right? Childcare is a challenge in our communities. Maybe open slots or slots in the times that you need available. So 211 can connect people because mm-hmm. We serve 13 counties. Just in the 13 counties we serve, we have about 3,000 resources. Mm-hmm. So programs that now. Those are not all in Wood County. I understand that. But, you know, from the service provider aspect, one of the other things that this helps us with, and we don't ever want to have unmet needs, but the reality is we have unmet needs.
Yeah.
Or somebody will call for something and the resource specialist will look it up in the database and there's like nothing. Yeah. But we do track that. And so mm-hmm. then we're looking at and saying, you know, gosh, in the last 6 months, we've had 20 calls for this specific mm-hmm. thing. What do we do? Right. You know, sometimes maybe we can't do anything, but sometimes we might be like, oh, what about this organization? Mm-hmm. They do something, you know, like could we, so we're not ignoring, while maybe we can't help you in the here and now, we're not ignoring those unmet needs either. You know, right. That's part of our evaluation of program and service delivery. So, you know, 211, we don't try to keep it quiet, mm-hmm. but it seems to be kind of one of our best kept secrets. You know, we try to share, we'll pop it up on billboards once in a while. We'll, you know, talk about it at meetings, talk about it when I'm with you. But sometimes it's just not top of mind for folks.
We know that 211 is successful and it's it does the job, and a job that is such a gray area for many of us. Now, a lot of people know that because they've used 211, but you also know that because we don't have to put as much attention on it because it is thriving and doing so very well. And that's a big thanks to the people working those phones as well as the community, because one of the things that's so important about using 211 services is the data that Terry was talking about that is collected from that. That helps United Ways around the country, let alone here locally and everything. So by using that service, not only are you getting help and the help you need, but you're also helping out the United Way and helping with the data of that. It really goes a long ways with these things. So whether it's that or any other thing, is spread the word about 211. Make sure everybody knows it's a service that's usable.
Yeah, and it's great. I mean, and just for a little context, so our contact center handled 5,116 calls last year.
Wow.
So, I mean,
man,
that's a lot, but we want more. I'd like it to get higher.
Yeah, we can raise those numbers up, and we're going to help you do that. Terry, if people have follow-up questions, would like to know more about some of the things we talked about today, what's the best way to get a hold of you guys?
You can give us a call at 715-421-0390, or of course, you can always get probably the majority of your questions answered by visiting our website at uwswac.org or following us on social media. You know, we try to share as much as we can, but please feel free to reach out. We also like visitors. You know, we're good with that. We're at 351 Oak Street. If you're bringing diapers or school supplies, you know, we love to connect.
I appreciate you guys. Say hi to the team over there for us, and we'll talk again real soon.
Sounds great.
And thank you for joining the conversation, everybody, here at WFHR's Rapids Report.